you may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of this Tuesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are going to be covering news and current events in this hour, followed by Standeo in hour number three. Before we get back to our content, we have a quick announcement for you.
Yeah, a couple of housekeeping issues. Folks, you know, we have a great family of listeners. Please, I'd like to just ask everyone to pay attention here for a moment. We have a listener who's requesting your much-needed prayers. This is for Donna L. It's actually not for Donna, but for her son. And she writes this, that you know, she knows of no other program to ask prayers and blessings from. As listeners like Donna and people close to her know that our audience is special. I believe we are. I believe that not we, Joe and I, and no one here in this room, but we believe you're special. You're listening. If you're listening to this, we believe you are extremely special. And anyway, Donna writes that her son, Andrew, is growing through a very difficult situation right now and would be extremely grateful for your prayers. Now, this is Donna's son, Andrew. Please pray for the situations he's going through. She's asking that you pray for his guidance and wisdom. He's going through a very trying time. I'm not going to get into the details. Just keep Andrew, the son of Donna, in your prayers, that Andrew may or will make the right decisions, the correct decisions, will seek the face of God, will seek wise counsel and guidance. And Donna, as well, will have the strength to carry Andrew through this very trying time. That's all we really need to know. And when I hit my knees tonight, Donna, I will be praying for both you and your son, Andrew. And while we're on our knees tonight, if that's physically possible for us, for you, please pray for each other, for other listeners. Please pray for the reactions or responses, the listeners, as they go through challenges that will be on the rise. The air has become dirtier. The air above cities, above homes, above businesses has become dirty with evil, nefarious evil. Same thing Russ Dizdar speaks of. It's on the rise. The attacks are pointed. The attacks are targeting Christians. The attacks are targeting people who are making a difference. So please, keep Donna and her son Andrew in your prayers, but also pray for your own and each other's serenity in the face of upheaval. And you want to know something too? We found something really great to help us when we're stressed and when we're overwhelmed. That's WholeTonesLive.com. And I myself have benefited greatly from WholeTonesLive.com, the DVDs, the CDs that they offer. I'm not even sure what to call them. After 8 tracks, I lost a track. Yeah, I got the idea of cassettes. But after that, anyway, Whole Tones Live, they offer such a great product. If you feel like you're stressed and overwhelmed and unmotivated, you can actually experience the scientifically proven powers of music therapy with WholeTonesLive.com. That's a collection of proven music therapy that can help reduce the stress, ease your mind, and even motivate you. Folks, the great part about this is you can get started today. Listen to a free sample of this amazing music that heals and inspires at WholeTonesLive.com. Now, let me just spell that for you. That's W-H-O-L-E, WholeTonesLive.com. We've got a lot of emails, one of which says that I started playing Whole Tones throughout my workday. And not only was I more creative and more motivated, but the work I was doing seemed easier and much clearer, and I found this to be true myself. That's my personal experience. We had Michael Terrell on our show. He explained how the music was inspired by the frequencies of King David. So folks, go to the website, go to WholeTonesLive.com, download a free sample at WholeTonesLive.com, and support this broadcast show, and support us through your purchase of WholeTonesLive.com. You get something, a great product, WholeTonesLive.com. One more thing, too. I got this. Oh, forgive us. Forgive me in advance for going here. I thought this was somewhat humorous. You got to hear this. All right. Maybe I lost it here. Hang on just a second, because this was good. Did I lose it? Let me just double check here. This is actually pretty funny. If you like, somewhat off color humor. Gary lives in San Francisco and went to one of these adult shops, shall we say, to buy one of those rubber blow-up dolls. The guy behind the counter asked Gary, would you like a Muslim or a Christian one? I know I'm going to get emails on this, okay, but I thought this was interesting. It was somewhat funny. Gary said, well, what's the difference? And the guy behind the counter says, well, the Muslim doll blows itself up. All right. And I toned that down, too, ladies and gentlemen. I did tone that down. One last thing. And again, my apologies for that off-color humor, but sometimes you just have to take a step away and understand that, you know, it is what it is. Ron had written something here, and this is something that we're seeing more and more and more of. Ron writes this. YouTube and our shows, Rick Wiles, Steve Quayle, Tom Horn. Ron has noticed that the YouTube is censoring content. Well, he writes that Rick Wiles had said that YouTube is limiting their program to 15 minutes per day because of some sort of violation for content. And I'm not talking about the copyright violation. I'm talking about content violation. Now, we spoke about this on the 16th of April, that this was coming, and this is here. Here's another even more personal situation. We have AdSense on our various platforms, or on our websites, and that generates just really pennies. You have to be a big dog to make a lot of money with respect to AdSense. But it helps offset some of the more mundane, smaller fees that, yeah, that we encounter. We get this big red ad violation notice, or violation notice on AdSense. Warning, content violation. I don't know if you have that up there, but what this stated was, you, meaning us, we cannot offend the sensibilities of any class of people, including, and I'm adding now, especially Muslims, because on the 15th or 16th,
Muslims, well, violent murderers,
right, we can't tell the truth. They don't want that, because see, we had posted an article. It was, I believe it was, what, the 15th, or what date did that say? Because I would like to draw everyone's attention to that article, and to hell with Google, to hell with AdSense.
April 5th.
Okay, April 5th. Of a woman who cut off the head, decapitated a child, and was pictured holding the child's head up. A young girl in her care. And it was a Muslim crime in Europe. And the UK, I think it was either the Mirror, I believe it was the Daily Mirror, who ran the story, complete with the picture of the severed head being held up by the woman. And Google said, you can't do that. That's hate. Now, what is hate is the decapitation of that young girl by a Muslim. It was a Muslim Islamic crime. One might argue that the woman was insane. Or was she possessed? Or was she acting on behalf, or acting under the color of her so-called cult/religion? But the story, in addition to that, the story is, we will be censored. We will not be allowed to talk on YouTube or on other venues outside of Global Star. Will not be able to publish articles that paint Muslims in a bad light, even if it's true. We can damn the name of our Lord and Savior every second of the day, but if we drag Allah into it, Muhammad into it, we will be censored. This is the beginning of the censorship process. It's only going to get worse, and it's going to be like lightning. Like a storm coming through your community, it's going to hit everybody. So please understand. And the reason, you know, the reason I think this is important, the story is important itself, but the reaction to the story by Google, by the ad people saying that the content is objectionable, is the story, because this is the wave of the future, and it's only going to get worse, folks. This is why we say we're a listener-supported show. This is why we're doing what we're doing. We're attempting to expand our platform and to get bigger, stay ahead, stay one, two, three steps ahead of that evil that is nipping at our heels and attempting to take down our broadcast. Yes, take it down. Censor it. Make it so we can't talk about these things. I would like not to have to even have a pop-up, or we don't have pop-ups, but not to have any AdSense at all. I would like to get to the point where we had no commercial interruptions. But right now we can't do that. So until we can break free of that bondage, we will watch this unfold, but it's getting worse and worse and worse. And keywords. If you have a website out there, or a blog, let's say, or even on Facebook, ladies and gentlemen, maybe you've experienced this. If you write something that's disparaging Muslims, or disparaging homosexuality, or the LGBT, agenda, you're going to be censored. Try it if you so desire. You watch how quickly you're going to be hit with either a timeout, so to speak, or they'll just take your revenue generating ability away from you if you have a website. I'm just saying, and it's coming soon. And don't forget, we took a stand last year against the company that was very vocal, filed an amicus brief with the Supreme Court on the case of Obergefell, which was the Supreme Court opinion on homosexual marriage, homosexual sodomite marriage. And for that, we were, you know, we said, look, we are not going to carry your ads. And because of that, we had two other sponsors pull out, and we took a huge hit in terms of ad revenue. That's not to say, yay us, oh boy, aren't we great? No, what is the reason we're bringing this up is because this is the way the future is headed. I mean, this is the way things are headed. This is why we are still developing and will roll out the Christian marketplace, where it will be a Christian-friendly environment to do business, because without that, without sticking together, we don't stand much of a chance doing it individually. So that's more on that as the week unfolds. But I thought that was extremely important to talk about, because if we are not able to talk about issues like homosexuality, like abortion, and explain how wrong these are and how sinful these acts are, then we are being prohibited from witnessing to others. And not in a hateful way. This is not being done in a hateful way. This is just being done in a manner that I believe is consistent with biblical teaching. But having said that, please understand this is, and especially, and consider this, in a situation of wartime, in a situation of civil unrest here in domestically, or if you're listening to this, we'll say in the UK, or whatever country in Europe you're listening to this, and I know many countries in Europe have already, Germany, for example, or numerous other countries have said, no, you cannot talk about Muslims in a bad light. You can't call Islam a cult. Coming to America. And Obama, by the way, was put in that position to ensure that this happens under his watch, and that time is running short.
Yeah, absolutely. This article caught my attention earlier today, and I want to talk about it a little bit. Federal researchers are building a massive online database of genomic data. A new online portal will let scientists access vast amounts of genomic data from patients involved in heart, lung, blood, and sleep research studies. The hub, called Genport, is supposed to help researchers look into the results of several studies at once, tracking individuals in different trials who might share the same characteristics, known as synthetic cohorts. The Health and Human Service Department is currently looking for small businesses who can help build that hub, so even researchers are without informatics or genomics training can make practical use of data from cohort studies and other scientists have already conducted. Genport software and tools will be open source, transportable, and freely shared, according to HHS posting. The cloud-based resource also aims to let researchers vitalize and analyze that data. Now, what is that data? It is a data of DNA information. It's a database of DNA information, sequenced genetic data from about 20,000 people who are part of heart, lung, and blood sleep studies, and other any other sources where the government has collected DNA materials before.
You go into the hospital, your DNA is collected.
Yeah, people who have been to prison or on probation have had their DNA collected. and put in databases. Well, what they're trying to do is they're trying to build through HHS. What they are doing is they are building a one-stop shop for where everyone's DNA profile that is in the system, in any system, will be part of a overall DNA hub. It's like it'll be the biggest DNA database to date. There you go. You're making good use of the 3D printing icons. Click over to.
Well, I didn't want to disturb you while you were doing it, so.
There you go. Looks good.
And again, thank you so much to Todd R. Oh, thank you so much, Todd.
Yeah, you said Todd R. once, and then you said Todd O.
Well, Todd R. is R's his middle initial.
Okay,
but I didn't want to give his last name out. I don't have his permission to do that.
And in other news here, you remember last week we talked about Bruce Springsteen and PayPal. Bruce Springsteen backing out of a concert in North Carolina because of their non-accommodations to LGBT laws of, you know, the anti-transgender law. But now Pearl Jam is the latest band to bash NC over anti-transgender law. Pearl Jam, the latest musical act to cancel a show in North Carolina over the controversial state law that bans transgendered people from using the bathroom or locker room of their choice. The band released a statement on its website explaining why it canceled its Wednesday show in Raleigh. The HB2 law that was recently passed is a despicable piece of legislation that encourages discrimination against an entire group of American citizens, the statement reads. The practical implications are expansive, and its negative impact upon basic human rights is profound. We want America to be a place where no one can be turned away from a business because of who they love, or fired from their job, or who they are.
Well, see,
I'm sorry, this is just so funny.
There's a guy by the name of Joe Salads. I think it's Joe Salads who did a YouTube video about the transgendered bathrooms, actually dressed up as a transgendered, but what do you call those people that
transvestite?
Yeah, transvestite, I guess, or dressed up like a woman and claimed to be, you know, relating to the female personality or the female persona, and he did a video. It's several minutes long of him going into a woman's bathroom after or right behind. He was kind of like watching the women as they went in, and then he'd follow men. He was obviously a guy dressed as a woman, and when they would confront him, he said, "I'm in the process of becoming a woman," and that what he was doing by the letter of the law was legal. However, it was met with extreme prejudice, shall we say, by the women in there. I mean, so the you can see the government. This is the government initiative.
Oh yeah, and these singers,
social engineering
and bands, Pearl Jam, Bruce Springsteen.
Yes,
you know they're doing what we the people should be doing on a local, county, state, and national
except
level.
Reverse the cause.
Exactly, like the TSA stuff we talk about.
That's right.
If everybody would just not fly, say, we're not going to fly until you take away the naked body scanners. Guess what? They'd take the naked body scanners away quickly.
And they would take the TSA away quickly. If we said, we're not going to fly until you get rid of this Gestapo, tyrannical, jackbooted thuggery that's in the airports. Get them the hell out of the airports. We're not going to fly until you do. And don't fly. And I'm going to tell you something. The airlines would comply to avoid bankruptcy. And if we all did that together, and I suggest that we should, you know what, folks, we should set a day or a week. And let's do this. I didn't plan this, but my spirit is telling me we should do this at some week, let's say several weeks out from now. Let's name that No Fly Week or No Comply Week. What Alex Jones and InfoWars did at one time. And it worked. But let's all of us do it. Can we do it, folks? What about the audience reaction to this, the studio audience? How y'all feeling about this? Eric the Tech has just stood up and two thumbs up there.
I mean, if
Can we do it? Can we do it?
If all it takes is a Bruce Springsteen and Pearl Jam, you know, some no-name entertainers to back out of concerts in North Carolina to change laws, imagine how much effect you can have by using your purchasing power and taking your business elsewhere.
Well,
in mass effect to affect change.
I will say this. If there's anywhere I can travel, and I don't want to travel. Anyone who knows me, I loathe traveling. I loathe traveling. Eric knows. I'm just a peach to be around when I have to go somewhere, huh?
Oh, that's fun.
Go ahead, mic up,
that's
Eric.
That's an understatement. I mean,
it's like taking your grumpy old grandpa, he said. But seriously, if we can get to anywhere where we need to be within 8 hours, I would drive. If I can't get there in 8 hours, I would question why I'd have to go and not go. Or, you know, humbly ask for someone with a private jet or private plane if it was an emergency. But that said, we can make a difference. But I'm going to ask
something
you
about a private jet.
Yeah, I mean, I would humbly ask.
You're going to ask.
I would say, hey, man, you know, I mean, if I really had to go somewhere and it really had to be done. But we have to make the difference, I believe. So what, folks, what do you think as an audience? Do you think we could pull this off, or do you think that it would be a big flat thud? Can we call for and promote like a no-fly day or no-fly week or no-fly weekend or something to that effect? Very much what like InfoWars did. And in fact, I could even contact InfoWars, Alex Jones, and see maybe we could do it together. But could it be done? Do you think it would be done, or do you think it would be worthless? Send us your comments, studio at HagmanandHagman.com. Let's see what we can do about that. And just curious.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I want to hit this piece of news. I don't know. This does not tie in with what you are about to talk about, but this ties into the GOP convention in Cleveland in July. Campaign chief to vulnerables, stay away from GOP convention.
What does that mean?
The chairman of the Senate Republican campaign arm is telling vulnerable colleagues in tough races to stay away from the GOP presidential convention this summer. Senator Roger Wicker, the National Republican Senatorial Committee chairman, warns that a fight between supporters of candidates Trump and Cruz at a contested convention in Cleveland is the last place a vulnerable Republican is needed to be. If there's going to be a brouhaha, I'm advising candidates to be present for more unifying events. Even Senator John McCain told reporters on Tuesday that he's skipping the Republican National Convention for the first time in years. I have to campaign for re-election, and I've always done that when I'm up, the 2008 GOP nominee told reporters.
They're scared.
McCain was up for re-election in the Senate in 2004 and in 1992, however, still found time to speak at the GOP convention in those years. He also spoke at the convention in 2012, 2000, 96, 88, and 84. The senator acknowledged that it's possible the party's eventual standard bearer could drag down GOP candidates down ballot, such as himself. That's always a concern, said McCain, who faces a potentially tough race this year against Democratic Representative Ann Kirkpatrick, but also worrying about an August 30th primary. GOP Senator Mark Kirk of Illinois and Kelly Ayotte of New Hampshire are also planning to skip the convention. Both face tough re-election races.
Well,
but it goes on to say,
"We're scared."
A fourth vulnerable Republican, Senator Rob Portman of Ohio, said he isn't sure he'll be at the convention, which is in his home state. Portman said he planned political events in Cleveland, and as of now, does not plan to participate in floor activities at the Quicken Loans Arena, though he might pop in if he has time. The article goes on from here. Just to say that the convention has a capacity of people going home with a poor taste in their mouth. We may have a nominee before the convention. I don't know.
Lewinsky or something. I don't quite understand that, right?
Well, I think what he's saying is the convention might not go as planned. and he's telling people, or at least, I don't know what he's trying to say. I don't know what a vulnerable...
You know something, I just realized what I said, and I was not thinking about... I just realized what I said. I was responding to something that was about the vulnerability, and I apologize if that... I just realized. Wow.
I must have missed it. I don't know.
Okay. Well, if you did, that's fine. All right. Well, yeah, the establishment candidates are afraid right now. And they're afraid because they know that people are angry. And of course, they have to say, well, you know, if you're vulnerable, let's just stay away. People already have, and this goes to what you're saying. There's a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths from what is taking place with this on Wyoming, Colorado, all of this. So the vulnerability of those people who are on the edge in terms of, winning the more hotly contested races is evident. So that's kind of where we're coming from. And now the establishment Republicans can see that, and they're experiencing that. Now they're finally believing it. And again, this is the theater of politics. It's all theater. Now, all right. Michael Savage, and I've been on this program before, and Michael Savage is an interesting guy. He does tell it like it is, and he's as far as I'm concerned, he's got some great radio. But he just came out here recently and said, unless Christianity receives some sort of new enthusiasm, it's got to sweep the Western world, and Christianity itself rises up against the forces against it, the entire West is going to collapse in your lifetime. This is Michael Savage saying this. There has never been a successful and long-lasting atheistic civilization, and there never will be. That's the opinion of many people, and it's also the belief of Michael Savage. And he issued this dire warning. This was last week now. I believe it was last Wednesday he was talking about this. And Savage has authored a lot of best-selling books. He has the Savage Nation, that radio program. But he's long warned that the West is imperiled by savages from without and is being savaged by militant secularists within. And think about this. We always talk about this. We are a captured operation. The enemy is already inside the gates. Michael Savage is acknowledging this and saying this is not a mere political problem, but this is a spiritual problem, and it lies, the remedy lies on the shoulders of Christians today. That's what Savage is saying. And I've seen responses to that. As I watched this particular item grow legs and then kind of get back, you know, go back and then grow legs again, I've noticed some responses, and people are saying this, and I find this to be extremely short-sighted. People say, a collapse will have to come in order for us to have a Christian revival. Now, folks, think about that statement. That's been the majority of the responses. Wherever this has been posted, this message by Michael Savage, people are saying, well, first you're going to have a collapse, and then the Christian revival will come as a result of that. My response to that, aside from being short-sighted, is how well did that work after 9/11? What, we came together for a couple of weeks, we filled the pews, we went through the motions, but did we follow through? Of course not. Did we repent for our sins? And you might say, well, why should we have done that? We were the ones that were attacked, yes. But have you considered, for example, the hedge of protection, the hand of protection by Almighty God was removed because of our sinful nature and because of our very hubris against the God that has protected us? Of course not. See, this is the mindset of the people and the politicians and even the Christians who sit in those pews. This is what we have to change. This mindset is what we have to change. We have to repent. And only after repenting and changing our mind and changing the way we think and changing the way we operate, only then will there be a revival. One does not come before the other. A revival will not necessarily, an event of some catastrophic event is not going to cause or otherwise create a Christian revival. Now, what could happen is a revival will take place with the remaining Christians, but not as a result of the event, but because of the nature of the remnant, shall we say. Having said that, very simply, Michael Savage did state, and folks, we've talked about this before, it's plain to many that the erosion of the West foundational faith is synonymous with the erosion of her foundation. Now think about that. What does that mean? America was built on Judeo-Christian moral precepts and principles. In fact, John Adams, the second president of the United States, issued a warning, and I've often quoted this, saying in 1798, saying that our Constitution was made for only a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. So, in other words, you could have a secularist, atheistic government in office, and that Constitution is nothing more than a GD piece of paper. This, according to Bush, a so-called self-professed Christian. John Adams is saying, look, this country will not work, will not flourish without a moral and religious people. That said, we have neither in government. Adams warned about this. Now Michael Savage has taken to the airwaves and said, look, this country is not going to survive absent of any Christian revival. So what Savage is saying is the future of this country, and this is what Paul McGuire's been saying, Steve Quayle, Pastor David Langford, the future of this country rests upon the shoulders of the Christian remnant. Absent of that, and absent of the repentance and the prayers prior to an event, we're toast. So
he's right on the money there.
Yep.
Some preliminary results coming in. You can go to the top of the Drudge Report for the
what's my over and under?
I don't know. They have it says New York exit polls. Clinton 54%, Sanders 46%, Trump 61%, Kasich 24%, Cruz 15%. We'll see how accurate that really is.
No surprise there. So what?
So they say Trump is 61%, Kasich has 24%, Cruz has 15%.
You know, all Trump has to do is fall out of bed in New York. Seriously, and he's got the vote. He's got the nominees. The Sanders was in our town today, our city today, actually just a couple of hours ago.
Trump was here last Friday, too.
Well, yes. And I asked my wife to watch. Speaking of, we talked about that transgendered or the LGBT or whatever that transvestite that video. Joe Salads was the guy that did the video. He also did a video showing Trump supporters or Trump and Sanders supporters, and he was holding up a sign, you know, for Trump. And you can search this on the internet. It was funny because the vitriol by Sanders supporters against the Trump supporter, which was him holding up the Trump sign, was off the charts. I mean, he got punched. He got a thing of water thrown on him from a car. He got flipped off numerous times. This is, and I would submit this goes back right back to what my contact. My intelligence source is telling us that this is all coming from this orchestrated riot or orchestrated civil unrest that is going to be taking root in the summer, and I believe this to be the case. So think about that. I do believe that we're seeing this, and it's going to be at the hands of the socialists in this country, but blamed on the Bible-believing Christian right, moral and ethical Christian right.
All right, this is an interesting article. Catastrophic, up to 3,500 gallons of nuclear waste leak at Washington State storage site. Thousands of gallons of radioactive waste are estimated to have leaked at a Manhattan Project era nuclear storage tank in Washington State over the weekend, triggering an alarm and causing one former worker to label it catastrophic. The expanded leak was first detected after an alarm went off at the Hartford Nuclear Reservation on Sunday, and on Monday, workers were preparing to pump the waste out of the troubled area, AP reported. They were also trying to determine why the leak became worse. It's unclear exactly how much waste spilled out, but estimates place the amount at somewhere between 3,000 and 3,500 gallons, according to the Tri-City Herald. There's no indication of waste leaking into the environment or risk to the public at this time, the Washington Department of Ecology said in a statement. The problem occurred at the double-walled storage tank, which was leaking since 2011. At the time, the leak was extremely small, but the waste would dry up almost right after spilling out between the inner and outer walls. Now, sometime in March, this storage tank was pumping what was left into another tank, which originally held some 800,000 gallons. However, during the process, after the alarms at Hanford went off, workers discovered the leak waste between the storage walls reached a depth of 8.4 inches. Pumping work on the tank has been halted as officials reevaluate the simulation and figure how to get the leak radioactive waste back into the tank. The Department of Energy called the leak anticipated, and the Ecology Department said there was no danger to the public. The former Hanford worker who was first discovered the leak had a different analysis. "This is catastrophic," he told King 5 News. "This is probably the biggest event to ever happen in tank from history. The double shell tanks were supposed to be the saviors of all saviors to hold waste safely from people and the environment. Yet they failed to do so. I wish they would have listened when the leak started in 2011. Maybe none of this would be happening. It is an example of a culture at Hanford of we don't have problems here, we're doing just fine, which is a total lie. So I would keep your eyes and ears open out there. That's definitely 3,500 gallons of radioactive fuel from a Manhattan Project era site leaking up in Washington State.
Interesting. Interesting indeed.
And they also unveiled the bail arches in London.
Yeah, today. And people need to really understand exactly the scope of this satanic process, the bail arches. Now, some will say it's not directly to bail. I've heard different theories. I understand that. I understand what is attempting, you know, what they're attempting to say. But regardless, it is satanic in nature. But go ahead, talk about that.
Well, no, I just wanted to mention that in London they had a successful unveiling of the Temple Archway, and it is up and it is there.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Also, another news, the Obama administration is unsure if Iran spent $3 billion in new cash on terrorism. The Obama administration officials disclosed Tuesday that Iran has been granted access to about $3 billion in unfrozen assets in the months since the nuclear agreement was implemented, but it remains unclear as to the administration if the Islamic Republic had spent any of its money to fund its global terrorism enterprise, according to top officials. "We don't know if Iran has spent the money on terror activities," State Department spokesman John Kirby told reporters. "We don't know. We don't have a way to find out." This $3 billion is part of a much larger $50 to $55 billion that Iran will receive from the U.S. and foreign governments in the coming months. And
very interesting.
The State Department is basically downplaying and protecting Iran and the money that they spent, making it seem like it's no big deal.
Let's take a look at some economy news here, because I do believe that the economy, at least the information I'm getting, is going to play a role in what is coming. If you just go to Steve Quayle's page, stevequayle.com, you can see the numerous headlines that talk about the banking problems, people having trouble taking money from banks. Money that should be available to them, as little as $1,500. Basic harassment of bank customers. It's taking place today. And if you look at some of the biggest banks in history or in America right now, there's this, this move away from normal services and of course the deterioration of services and the inability of people to, for example, take out money, the cash money that belongs to them. And many people don't understand. And this is so important to understand that we are merely, when we deposit money into a bank, we're merely creditors of that bank. In other words, they have our money. They owe us that money. They don't have to pay us that money. No longer is it our money. So to take a bigger look or to look at the big picture and to see the successive headlines over the last several years, we are seeing this orchestrated and systematic push by the government toward civil war, which we had talked about. And this is all coming together, I do believe, along with the lockdown of America here in the near term. And when I say near term, I do believe that the elections or that the Republican committee convention and the Democratic convention both have things to do with this. But if you use, for example, the economic flashpoints and take a look at what's taking place with the banks, you can see right now we are being pushed very, very decisively into a divisive position, the haves versus the have-nots. Class warfare is raging and will continue to target Americans that include Christians and, of course, veterans, constitutionalists, preppers, survivalists, anyone that the government deems to be extremist, and even more. The government is stating that we are more dangerous than the terrorist groups. We are domestic terrorists as opposed to the Islamic terrorists, and we are much more dangerous. So the enemy is us. The lockdown is starting. The economic collapse is now being orchestrated. Will it happen all at once? I don't know. But certainly it's incremental, and the government has put together a whole litany of mechanisms in order to confiscate your money, which it's well documented. And few depositors realize this, folks, that legally the bank owns your money. Okay. As soon as you put it in the bank, they own it. Our money, your money, becomes the bank's. Now, that doesn't, it's not really a big problem when none of us have a whole lot of money to worry about. Except when that's your last 20 or 40 bucks and the bank won't give it to you, then you have a problem, especially if you haven't made plans for it. But under the FDIC plan right now, if a bank collapses, basically you will receive an IOU and that's bank equity, basically, in bank equity. And then if our IOUs that we get, if that's converted into bank stock, it's no longer subject to insurance protection, and therefore the FDIC is a non-issue. But the FDIC is already a non-issue because it's bankrupt anyway or can't cover the potential losses. So how many of your friends and family members know what's taking place, that the government put laws in place that allows banks to simply take your money if they fail, just as I described? How many of them know about the legal mechanisms that have been put in place to confiscate your money and my money? The FDIC, and this is very important. Not too many people had mentioned this. Back last week, the Federal Reserve, not the FDIC, the Federal Reserve released a 19-page letter, that it and the FDIC chair and CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, which identified a deficiency in J.P. Morgan's wind-down plan that could, in their words, pose a serious adverse effects to the financial stability of the United States. What they're saying here, folks, and I said that very quickly, this references a Zero Hedge article, which references an article or which references the 19-page letter from, I believe it was posted on WallStreetParade.com, stating this, that the federal regulators basically have said that J.P. Morgan's on the ropes and they could pose a threat to its shareholders and Wall Street and really the entirety of the Western market. And J.P. Morgan is a potential threat to the financial stability of the United States. So the Fed is declaring or has declared that J.P. Morgan is a threat to the financial stability of the United States. The reason that this is important is because of the vast holdings, the wealth of J.P. Morgan. And don't forget Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan in the history of J.P. Morgan as well. You're seeing musical chairs here. What's happening is we're all playing a game of musical chairs. There's only so many chairs, and the music is going to stop, and somebody's going to be without a chair. And that process is going to continue incrementally until there's only one chair and one person seated. And that person basically represents the criminal cabal, the who comes out on top in terms of the globalists. Now, so that's kind of, I just wanted to bring that to the forefront. The reason being, when you take a look at the, for example, Chinese, they're stockpiling silver. Have you seen that? Have you seen the massive amounts of silver that the Chinese are stockpiling?
The Chinese just released a new gold-backed currency today.
Yep, I know. Which, yes, that's important as well.
And I don't have a good piece of news on this, and we are running up to the top of the hour. Definitely tomorrow, in the first hour, I will make sure I have a detailed report that we can go off of. But there's a new...
Well, yeah, they rolled out their yuan. Gold,
it's a new gold-backed currency.
Yeah.
That will turn the U.S. dollar away from being the world reserve currency. And will send us into a hyperinflation nightmare.
And folks, China released this yuan gold fix Friday, I believe it was. And what happened to the precious metals? You have to take a look at how the metals market responded to that.
Silver
was up 5%. Silver was trading at $17 at one point. A price that was not seen in over a year. And many people think, for example, I've heard from many people who have purchased silver and gold, silver when it was $40 an ounce, and saying now it's in the teens and I got ripped off. No, it's a storage of your wealth. It's reflective of it's a hedge against the inflation. Now, when it's down like this, of course, it doesn't make any sense because everything's being gamed and manipulated. But the fact of the matter is, when things do happen and when everything hits the fan, you're going to be further ahead than had you not had that gold or silver. But take a look at the COMEX silver inventories. They've been declining consistently. They were, in fact, there was a peak of 184 million ounces in July of 2015. You got 154 million ounces today. The silver stocks at the Shanghai Futures Exchange have been doing the exact opposite in a big way. Take a look at a chart of the Shanghai Futures Exchange silver stocks, meaning that the exact opposite, meaning the inventories bottomed out on August 25th of 2015 at 233 metric tons. Very interesting number, I should say. However, silver inventories at the same exchange began to really pick up in 2016 and surged unbelievably over the last couple of months. So all that to say this: watch silver. China is increasing their holdings on silver, physical possession of silver, and that's indicative of the metals market, I believe, in a larger sense, with the release of the Chinese yuan gold fix last Friday. We are seeing a perfect storm, especially against the attack on the U.S. dollar. That's what we're taking a look at. That's what we're seeing right now. And this will play into, because things do take time, I do believe that we will see incrementally into the summer the loss of the purchasing power and, of course, the ability or the petrodollar as we get into summer and even early fall. And I think this fall is going to be extremely volatile with respect to the U.S. dollar.
I think you're right. With that, we have Stan Deo coming up next. Stay with us for our third and final hour as we will be joined by Stan Deo. With Stan Deo from StanDeo.com. Go on his website on the right-hand side of the microphone, click Show Images to see what he'll be talking about this week. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star.